This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. The perfect place for writers to write. And I'm just waiting for a call in from Ed Hagen. This is so exciting for me because he's just a wonderful, wonderful person. Actually, I'm holding his cup right now, holding it up to the camera, because he sent me a beautiful cup, a nice big coffee mug, which I love because, you know, being a Finlander, we drink a lot of coffee. Do I have Ed on the phone?
We have Ed on the phone, Patsy.
Okay, Ed, I was just talking about the wonderful coffee cup you sent me.
Thank you.
I love it. It's big.
It's fun. It's big, yeah. We got the 16-ouncer because it's much better. You know, it doesn't splash around.
Oh, yeah. As a Finlander, I drink a lot of coffee, and your mug is perfect, and I have it right here in the studio with me right now. I'm so happy to welcome you back to Joy on Paper. You know, this new book, The Island of the Four Ps, is, I was waiting anxiously for it. You had mentioned it before that you were going to be writing a different type of book to really encourage people because, of course, On the Road Less Traveled, An Unlikely Journey from the Orphanage to the Boardroom came out several years ago. And of course, that's a complete book about your life and about all the things that happened to you. The new book is the perfect book. You've written it in the form of a fable. And I think I love to think of how your mind works.
Thank you. Well, it's a book basically written for people basically to communicate with themselves. I think one of the constants in life is your inner voice. And I think that this book is a fable so that people can sort of say, this is how we talk to ourselves. And it's a story about a young man and an older man who talk about the four P's, passions, principles, partners, and plans. A young lady enters the picture in the middle of the book as well. So it's a three-part conversation.
It's an absolutely perfect book, just the right size that for people who need some inspiration. And I would give this to every graduating high school student. They should be handed a diploma and your book at the same time, because they need, at that point, when you're 18 years old, you really need to be told, slow down and think for, just take a few days to think.
And really sit down and write down what you really, what your passion is an overused word, but passions, interests, talents, where you want to be someday, and then your principles, and what kind of principles do you have? Do you have principles? And principles are not only things like, do unto others. That's important, too. But just sentences, that can control my life. I mean, things like, if you don't worry about who gets the credit, you can accomplish almost anything. And so these are little principles that I collected. When I was on Wall Street, I had a principle that said to live happy was to live hidden, which was not to go on television, not to go on radio, not to be in the press, but basically to work on your company. Of course, now I have a different principle. I have to get out there and talk to people and make sure they get a chance to read my book. But you're absolutely right on. I want everybody who's between 17 and 25 years old and anybody in transition, I think this book will be fun to read. It's only 3 hours. Actually, the Audible is going to be very special. There's 6 voices on it, which is going to be fun.
Oh,
so it's a really easy thing, and it just encourages people to talk to themselves better.
Well, tell us about Marketus. So we start off with Marketus, and he's about to go on a journey, and he's going to this island of the four P's, and along the way, he has different parts of the island that he's going to be visiting. And
right.
So let's start the story for my listeners. So let's lead them along.
Marketus is on a boat, and he's getting to an island, which is basically an allegory for leaving home to go to college or go to some kind of school the first time. And then on the island, he meets an older man, Archimedes, and they start a conversation, and they walk together and talk. And they stop at the first village, which is the village of Paxton. And in the village of Paxton, there's all kinds of things that one might do with one's life. Music, art, engineering, science, architecture. And it shows people that, there's everything you can do and things you haven't even thought about. In addition, in the Valley of Passion, there's an area of the passion called the Blue Zone, which is negative passion. So you recognize that some of your passions are not positive. You have to be careful of that. Then there's allegorically, They leave the field of their passions and they climb up a mountain to get to the village of principles, which is allegorically because, and essentially, you know, your principles are something you have to reach for. And in that village, they go into a situation where they learn all about the many different kinds of religions, philosophies in the history of the world. And young man spends time looking at each one of them. Each one of them has different iterations and so forth. And in addition, when he comes down every day, he talks to the older man. The older man doesn't tell him what to do. He just guides him toward his own decisions, which is one of the main themes of the book is that we're all unique. There's no real answers for everybody. Basically, everybody has to decide for themselves. That's one of my real messages. This is not a book on this is right or wrong. This is a book on how to find your own right or wrong. And then, of course, they come down the mountain. And to come down the mountain, you have to basically have your partner has to help you. And then we get on a boat where there's people doing different things. If you didn't do different things, the boat wouldn't move. Again, partnerships. And we go to the village of partners where we find people, you know, learning how to help each other. And each thing you do needs different kinds of partners. Of course, the most important partner is P1, you know, partner one. That's somebody to find somebody to love, find someone to share your life, someone you can support who will support you. And then finally, they go to the village of plan, and they basically study history to figure out what happened. Because everything you do in life is in a context. If you live in the, if you were born in the Depression, and you lived through the Second World War, you're in one kind of a context. If you've been like we have in the last 40 years, besides 9/11, it has been a very, very wonderful period. I mean, things like real estate and the stock market have done extremely well. I mean, the stock market's gone in the last 40 years from 600 to 30,000. So, you know, people have basically done very, very well. And so context is important, and the Village of Plans gives you some context. And also at the end, it makes the young man and the young lady write down where they want to go and how they're going to get there. So I think it's really kind of an interesting trip, and it's done very quickly. And if you follow the whole thing, that's wonderful. But if you just pick up one or two ideas along the way, that also, I think, makes it a worthwhile read.
Well, it certainly does. And there are so many, I love all the sections where you sort of give people a chance to just stop and think about what they've just read and think about their values or their ideas. You know, what I worry about this generation in so many ways because I love working. I've been working since I was 7 years old, and I have always just loved it. I've given everything to each job I've done, and there's been so much joy in that, and I'm so worried that so many people don't have that same value anymore, because you do find so much joy when you give your all to a job.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And that's one of the messages in this book, is that once you find your passions and principles, you know, you'll find basically everything will be easier for you. And if you find a way, then you found a way, you know, it's something that you really like to do all day long. And that's the most important thing. If you love your work, you'll never work. And I love going to work, and I still, at my age today, I still love what I'm doing by talking to you and by producing these books. And this is my new passion, basically.
Well, that's what's so important. And I love you used a combination of really great business ideas. We've got a Venn diagram in there. we've got the S curve. I love all of that. And it comes down to when you have this area where you talk about giving your best. You know, in all of the jobs where in the end I always landed up being my own boss because I just like.
Well, you know, one of your principles is freedom.
Exactly.
That's one of my principles.
Exactly.
That's right.
But I have had jobs along the way, and I remember my first sort of corporate job was with Booz Allen and Hamilton. But I was very low level. I can tell you, I was nothing. As a matter of fact, I got the job because I knew I couldn't do anything. I couldn't type. I couldn't do anything. But I could draw. And I landed up being, in those days, of course, you had to draw all of the diagrams. And I was great at that. And I was in the San Francisco office. I was very poor. I was my girlfriend ran off with my money for the apartment, so I ended up sleeping in Booz Allen for 3 months.
It's a great story.
It was wonderful, but even after that, I was always the first one in the morning. I was always, you get such a kick out of giving your all to something like that. But also then, as you put in here, eventually, you know, finding that P1, that partner, and in your case, of course, you've got your Barbara.
Yeah, that's right.
And in so many ways, I was also thinking that, you know, you are number one in so many ways. For me, I think of you, well, because I'm drinking out of your coffee cup.
Well, I think we have a lot in common. I mean, when you start talking, you sound like you're talking my life. I was the first guy in and the last guy out. And I also believe you don't really find out whether you like your job or the position you're in unless you do that. And then when you do that for 2 or 3 years and then go to the beach and say, is it worthwhile? Is it something I want to pursue? But if you don't give it your all, you can never tell whether it's good or bad. Really can't.
Exactly. And that's why I feel so sad for people who don't have that passion that we have. And that's why if people read this book and young people read this book, I know that, of course, you talk to a lot of, you go to commencements and you talk to schools. I'm sure that you do scholarships for kids. I'm sure that you do a lot of outreach. Somehow, if they could just get off of their devices, because they don't, that takes away the time to actually think things through.
Take a pencil or even your iPad and just write down some of the things that you're thinking about. So that's where you learn who you are. And that's one of the other messages in the book. There are 3-4 parts of life: the self, family, work, and community, which is giving back. They're all very important, in my mind, for a successful life. You got to understand yourself. You must pay attention to your family, which is one of the most important things when everything is said and done. You know, work is what takes up most of your time and where you get most of your satisfaction. And then giving back, as long term, if you don't give back, you know, what my Scott Peck said, love is giving to others. And, you know, and you're right. I have 300 or 400 scholarships now. Every year I give more scholarship money, and I think it's the way it changes people's lives. And it makes me feel good.
And what I love about the book, I love these illustrations. I think it's helpful, particularly at this age with young people being very visual. They're used to this kind of thing, and I think it's very helpful for all ages, but I love it. I loved I particularly love the hollow glass columns. I love that one. I love that.
That's the world. But that basically is the history lesson. You're going up that column, and you're going to see and study each part of history and see how it affects people's lives during that particular time. So that's a fascinating one. But also, you recognize that the test mark is trying to take people away from. The test mark is your mind, because your mind collects all these things and integrates it. And so I'm trying to get people back off the devices and back into their heads. And I think that's one of the other. There's quite a few subtle messages. One of my friends said she read the book, was a lot of fun. Then she went back and read it again, and she said, it really is a book like Gulliver's Travels or like the, you know, what? Like the. No, it has a lot of messages in it.
Well, explain that, because explain about the four, where you actually put 4 P's, and explain this device that you created.
Those 4 P's get put into your head, basically, and when you want to go back and study it, you have to go right into what I call the 4 P box, and so you go to the passion box, you pull it out, you look what you said before, and you say, what did I do? Have I got some new passion? Have I really exercised my passion? Same thing. Have I got some new principles? Have I exercised my principles? You know, have I got the right partner? But now you've organized your mind. The test mark is just it's an allegory for your mind, because that's exactly what you do. And you make all your decisions basically in your head by talking to yourself. Really, in many respects. And I'm just trying to organize that in a little better fashion so that you can do a little better job. Or just as they recognize this is what happened. You know, you pick up these different parts of your situation and you put it into your mind. Your mind shuffles it around, comes up with a decision. And I'm trying to make that a little more fun and a little more organized.
Well, I was thinking that as a merchandising device, the Tessamark. I was hoping that you were going to send me a Tessamark.
Send you a Tessamark, huh?
Yeah, because I would love it. As a matter of fact, I think it's such a cute idea. I want to tell my listeners that Tessamark is it's a something you hold in your hand, and along the way, Marketus gets peas, and he puts them in the four holes that are on the test mark, and then the peas glow. And I can tell you, that would be a wonderful, I'm telling you, that's a merchandising thing.
Well, what's important
thing.
Is when you push the pea, up comes all your passions in a hologram and talks to you.
Well,
and essentially, that's what you do in your mind when you think about something. This hologram comes up and basically lists things. And if you change your mind, it'll list it to them. And holograms, I mean, I am thinking about doing an animated film and some kind of a... It would be fun to have to try to do a device like this that would talk to you.
Well,
you
even if it doesn't talk to you, I think you should do a device like this because I would just love to hold it in my hand. And like it maybe the warmth of your hand would make the peas glow.
Glow, that's it.
Now, wouldn't that be lovely? And it's just a reminder, like everybody, just hold the test mark in your hand. Don't make it anything more than just something that as you're holding it in your hand and it warms up and it glows, it gives you a few minutes to think for the day, to think about...
Yeah, that's very interesting, too. That's an idea.
Well, you know, that's me.
You're one of my nice, really nice supporters, and I thank you very much. But, you know, and I want to see what happens. I see I'm collecting ideas. Now, you've given me one. And as the book gets out there in the next 3 or 4 months, I'll get enough ideas. And if there's enough people to think like this, I'll go ahead and see if I can produce something. Either an animated film or a device.
Well, both. Do both. You can do both. And as a matter of fact, because I work with clay and I do some crafting, I'm going to make my own Tessimar now. I'm going to make it out of clay. And I'm going to have, the four P's. But I hope that you can make one that will be, it start glowing when people hold it in their hand. And every day, if people would just hold it for 5 minutes and calm down, relax, think about these four P's of yours, because it is so important to find your passions, find your principles, find your partners, and then make plans. And of course, in the end, as you said, you need purpose. There is that fifth thing that...
The fifth P is purpose. There's no two ways about it. All four P's will give you, if you get it right, purpose, really. And that's true.
Exactly. That's why this book is, I think it's brilliant. I think you are... At one point, I started crying. I was thinking in so many ways... It relates to my favorite book, which is Jane Eyre, because Jane Eyre, at one point, she has principles.
Yeah.
And the whole story is about having principles. And I followed so much of my life based on having principles like her. I wanted her to be proud of me. And at one point in the book where she sleeps on moss, you know, when she runs away and she lands up alone, afraid, frightened, and she sleeps on moss. And here we have Marketus sleeping on moss.
So there's a lot of allegory in here. This woman here down in Ocean Reef wrote a review of the book, and it's exactly what she said. You read it the second time, you'll pick up things like sleeping on moss. You'll pick up things like, you know, life is a balance situation. You think about the conversations you have with yourself. No, this woman was very, she said, also what's nice about the book, it's not preachy. You're not preaching something.
Yeah.
You're trying to guide people toward their own, you know, capability.
One of the things, my idea too, is that people who are in prison today, they really are completely lost. They've lost everything, and they do need a purpose. And I would also, not just for 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds.
Anybody
think,
in trouble. No, that's right.
Absolutely. I think... the prisons should give this book to everybody. Because, you went through a terrible childhood, and you came out of it. I mean, we don't have time here to go, but my listeners, because I've talked about it, 5 orphanages, right?
Yep.
Five
foster homes, 2 orphanages, and a bunch of hotel rooms.
And
the YMCA in New York.
You know, when I was working at Booz Allen, I used to go, I slept in the office, and then at 5:30 in the morning when the pool opened at the YWCA, I used to go there and go for a swim and a shower and then get back in the office. So everybody thought I was coming in the office. early, but they didn't know I had slept there all night.
No, but those things make you strong. They really do.
They do.
I think that was what you did made you who you are. And I'm thinking this more and more that young people you got to put them outward bound. You got to put them in the
exactly.
But when they have trials, you know. Sleeping in the office, I mean, you know, I won't tell you some of my experiences. You know, going to the automat as a young child, and, you know, if you could buy some bread for very little and then use the mustard and the ketchup on the table to make a sandwich, you know.
Well, we had fun doing it in the end when you think about it. We're full of stories. We're full of, you and I both have so much joy from all of this. And of course, I know that for you, I think of Barbara and I think P1. That's wonderful.
P1.
So, Ed, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And the name of the book is The Island of the Four P's. It's illustrated with lovely illustrations. It's a modern fable about preparing for your future. And it is by Ed Hagem. And Ed, I know that, as I said, it is a graduation coming up. And I want people, just every young person you know, get this book. It's just the right size. They will love it. And read it yourself, because it also, people have to just take some time and, you know, sit under a tree and think.
And the book will have some fun.
Exactly.
It's a fun book. I think that's what I'm getting a lot. The feedback I'm getting is people are having fun reading it and they're getting something out of it. And I say, if they get the whole story, great. They get one or two ideas, also satisfies me and will satisfy them. So, but Patsy, it's always great to talk to you. You made my day again. All right.
Okay. Bye bye now, Ed. Love.
Take care.
I just love talking to you. Bye bye.
Love talking to you too. Take care.
Bye. Bye bye now.